About, okay, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box. This is, oh crap, this is episode what?
48.
Yeah, I thought I was ready, but apparently I was not.
We're 40-something.
No, it's 45.
Really?
45. Yeah, we're coming up on that year mark. Real closer.
God, why in my brain do I think we started in May? But oh well, whatever.
No, we started like 3 or 4 months before, well, maybe 2 months before New 52.
Okay, so that would have been July.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, episode 45.
Okay.
And our topic for today is...
Wow. I am being attacked. There's like a giant Mothra moth trying to get into my sunroom. It's seriously as big as my hand. Just slamming into the window. If I stop recording, it's because the bug got me. Holy smokes.
Call Godzilla. I think he's on call this week for Monster Patrol. So have him come and, you know.
Oh, where'd it go? It's burrowed into the... It's seriously trying to get in.
Oh God! So Murray, you're gonna start dressing up like a moth now, right?
I'm gonna be
inspired by fear and
did Mothman from watch the Minutemen? He
went crazy too.
Okay. All right.
I'm picturing you sitting there, kind of depressed, and you got a drink in your hand, and the moth comes crashing against it.
It's hiding now.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, well, let's see. Let's start that again. Episode 45. Top 5 man-made comic book weapons.
Wasn't Buffalo Bill into moths in Silence of the Lambs? Oh, shit.
I think so.
Remember he had the Death's Head moth? And,
yeah, I vaguely remember that. It's been a while.
He was a great big fat chick, right? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice image to put in people's head right off the bat.
Oh, there it is again.
I take it you don't like flying insects, Murray?
No. They're right up there with bats.
Oh, like, what's wrong with bats?
Give you a list. We had them. Oh, they're in. I'm in the bat room next year. I am in the basement with the bats.
Okay. All right, well, let's see. By the way, I'm Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
And we have a guest by a mutant giant moth, too. Yeah, apparently, he's trying to get into the recording. We shall see.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm gonna try, as we go along, I'm going to try to pull out more moth references.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah,
I'll get back to that.
Excellent.
Okay, so...
Thank God for the internet. Okay.
Mr. Caleb, this was your topic, so...
All right, so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, what are we going to talk about this week? And I thought talking about our 5 favorite comic book weapons. Not you know, it has to be man-made weapons.
Yeah, so immediately Thor's hammer, Infinity Gauntlet, and the Green Lantern ring, they're off the table. So that makes it a little bit more difficult.
And anything fourth world gone. Anything sorcery based gone. I would say for the most part. I mean, if someone pulls out one in this conversation, we can put it to a vote. But I would say if it's driven by sorcery, ain't gonna work. Yep. So it just seemed like a fun topic. I don't know.
Sure, why not?
Inspires conversation. Inspires. It drives the geek. I lost my train of thought. Oh well,
the moth. It's that wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. that comic geeks are. Well, you know, any kind of geek probably says, "Can Superman beat the Hulk?" That's where it's that kind of thing, right?
And the thing about these, you got it. You know, it's pure comic book. I mean, for the most part, most comic book weapons are only going to work in a comic book. I mean, they're fictional. I mean, there are some exceptions, and I've actually got one of them on my list, which I think is a huge exception to the it will only work in comic books mythos. But
I have one as well.
But you know, not to give it away at the moment, it probably wouldn't work the same in the real world either. So, and I think people will, some of them will be obvious, but they're like, oh yeah, of course, that's on everyone's list. Mm-hmm. And other ones, hopefully not so much.
Now, so. Does anybody have alternates in case somebody else is picked? Because I'm sure mine are probably going to be.
I've got a couple of alternates.
I'll come up with one off the cuff.
It should be easy then.
Yeah.
Because
that's how I roll.
Well, then, I'm going to start. Because you know it's my idea.
All right, you go for it, man.
So my first one, and it's the only one that I think could work in the real world, is Green Arrow's longbow.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You know, he talked about in one of the Longbow Hunters how he actually built the bow himself, Oliver Queen, and you know no one else can really pull the damn thing. It's geared to his weight class, mm-hmm. And it's a cool weapon. I mean the whole
shooting
arrows thing. You know, even when it was the trick boxing glove arrows and all that nonsense, it was still fun, but. It got to be more real world when Mike Grell got his hands on it and said, well, he just shoots the pointy ones. And thus, Green Arrow's long bow is my first choice. But these are in no particular order.
Yeah, you know? And it's funny you should mention that. You know, you talk about that. You know, I used to watch a show called American Shooter, and they'd have Trick at the end of the episode. It'd be like a half-hour show, and it'd talk about different, you know, gun events like cowboy action shooting and talk about new weapons or whatever. And every once in a while, at the end of every episode, they'd have a Trick shooter. Well, sometimes that would be a master of archery, and he would do all kinds of stuff, you know, shoot aspirin off of a, you know, stuff and throw up cards in the air, and he'd shoot, you know, holes right in the middle of the aces and things like that. So yeah, it's absolutely possible. So
cool. Yay for comic books. Mm-hmm. And there was that cool on that Saturday morning DC thing they do. They had the guy shoot the boxing glove arrow to show that would really work.
Oh man, you just took mine. That was what mine was. The boxing glove arrow.
Go for it. I was just talking about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, since you go ahead and mention it, I'll go next, because that was what I was going to put on there. And, yeah, I saw that little clip, and they actually – and I've seen that guy on some of the shows I watch, you know, about archery and things like that. And it might even have been the same guy that was doing the stuff on that show. But they made an actual green boxing glove arrow, and they got a master, you know, archery guy. And they actually did it, tested it with a dummy and everything. And by golly, that sucker worked. So, nice. And they tested one other arrow. I think it was like an explosive arrow or something like that. And they, you know, put in paint on a tip of an arrow to make it be like the explosive or whatever. And so they tested that too.
So, that's neat. And you know, Green Arrow. I meant to mention this. He's been around since November 1941.
Yeah,
and boxing glove arrow was not too long after that. It was very early in his appearances back in the Golden Age.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. That is fine. That was mine then. So.
Okay.
Alrighty, cool. Then I'm going with the Batarang.
Oh, that was one of mine.
Totally. How can you not love the Batarang?
Oh,
you throw a rope on it, and you can swing from tower to tower in Gotham, and you can conk out the bad guys and have it come back to you. And
or, you know, you have them bladed, and which is the Batarang, I guess.
Slice them all up to pieces. Yeah. It's awesome.
Did you see the Batarang demolished guys in the latest issue of Batman and Robin?
I haven't read that yet, no.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm saving that for when I convalesce.
Okay. Batarang was on mine as well.
I've always loved that.
September 1939 was the first appearance of the Batarang.
Oh.
Wow, it's old.
It's old. It holds up, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. It's just it's a basic weapon.
Now, do you prefer it as the boomerang version of the Batarang, or do you prefer it when it, like, goes in and sticks itself in someone's hand like it did in Dark Knight?
Well, you don't really see in the comics that coming back to him thing. It's usually just uses, you know, one, you hit somebody and knock them out or whatever. But, yeah, I like the bladed ones.
It's got to come back. It's called a batarang. It's called a cudgel or something. It's
you don't ever see it come back, though.
It's implied. It always comes back.
Oh, okay. Well, and
it clonks someone on the head and then continues its trajectory right back.
They actually tested that on DC Nation too, but they didn't do the returning version. They did the stick into people version. They had a guy, I forget his name, but he's an expert on knives. He's like his Jack Danger, I think is his name. That might be his stage. And they had you know, just like it looked like, just like in Batman Begins, you know, those knife things, and he was just he had like in it, you know, one in between each finger, like Batman does. Even I mean, that guy could, you know, throw anything sharp and hit whatever he's aiming at. You know, he showed him throwing them, so yeah, they even tested that on there.
He's psychotic.
Yeah, that's.
His batarangs right now, like, are they in his little bat belt?
Yeah.
So they're foldy yuppie belt batarangs.
Yeah, they do fold. As a matter of fact, I've seen there's different kinds. They got the smaller ones that fit in the pockets, but the ones that are big, those are in a pouch in the back. Well, you know, post New 52, who knows? Might keep him in his boots for all I know now. But, yeah, they folded up. In fact, that replica of the bat belt that I got, utility belt, has a snap pouch in the back of the belt for batarangs.
When I was reading up on the batarang, it was talking about how when Norm Brayfogle was drawing it, he actually had drawn a batarang gun that would shoot these puppies out.
Well, that's interesting.
Nice. Going the Green Arrow route of it can I'm sure at some point there was the batarang boxing glove batarang.
Oh thing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. You can get the batarang prop replica, and I believe it does actually fold for $59 online. 71 on Amazon. Woohoo!
Excellent. You have a bat belt though, right?
Yeah, I do. It's a replica of the one from the 60s TV show. Only 700 of them made.
Mosby does the bat two scene with his bat. That's okay.
I do have one. That is for sure. So
excellent. There's right. A vision. Well, you doing that, the what see?
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Yeah, that and my Green Lantern battery are my two of my prized possessions in my comic related stuff. Though the battery's looking a little dusty right now. I need to dust that off. But, yeah, it actually lights up when you put the ring there. But anyway.
Nice.
All right. Well, my next one is from Strange Tales, number 135, from August of 1965, the Life Model Decoys.
Oh, I thought about those maybe.
Interesting. As a weapon, huh?
They were a weapon. They were used as weapons. I mean, in many different stories, they would, you know, go out and fight the fight while the shield agents kicked back and drank martinis and smoked cigars. I don't know what they did, but they were absolutely used for fighting. So that was my choice. I thought the cool thing, it's a shield, you know, for those who don't know what it is, shield, which is the secret organization, well, not so secret organization in the Marvel universe that sort of goes around and polices their world, created these android, duplicates of themselves so they could go out and, you know, trick the bad guys with them thinking, oh, I killed Nick Fury, when in fact they just killed this robot looking thing called a Life Model Decoy. And in fact, Tony Stark noted, you know, mentioned it in the latest Avengers movie.
Oh, he did?
Coulson calls him up and Tony Stark says, no, you're not talking to me, you're talking to a Life Model Decoy.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now. I need to see that again.
Do Life Model Decoys bleed? Do they bleed?
They might.
in the Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D. miniseries, they in fact were so lifelike that that people thought they were killing the real guys because they were bleeding, they were dying, aging even. So
that's a very convenient plot device for why, you know, why somebody's back from the dead too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not Reed Richards. It was his life model decoy.
Yes.
I think they killed Nick Fury recently in the 616, so
I think, yeah, I think they did, and they, you know, took his illegitimate black son and poked his eye out so he can be the next Nick Fury.
He's actually a bad knockoff life model decoy. So
yeah. Oh, is that what they got? Okay. I don't know more than I do.
I just made that up.
I only dabble in the Marvel universe, you know. All
right. Well, I'm sticking with it as a weapon, and I'm proud of that choice.
Yep. Okay. No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, cool.
Well, Murray, you haven't done one.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I did the Batarang.
Oh, you did the Batarang.
I stole it right out of your bat belt.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so is it my turn?
You sure.
Okay, well, okay. I got Spidey's web shooters.
Ah.
Did I steal one of yours?
Yes.
That's too bad. So the web shooters... well, I haven't done any research on them, but, you know, they're obviously, it shows the scientific side of Peter Parker, which I think, you know, I haven't got up to that point yet, but I know Caleb, you were saying he's, like, working in a lab now.
Yep.
So, I'm getting there. I've been actually reading through those trades. It's good stuff. I can't wait to the gauntlet that Wade does.
You are approaching some awesome stuff. Yeah. Awesome sauce right now. Anyhow, off topic.
Sorry. Yeah, anyway. But yeah, his web shooters, he can use them to, you know, shoot the webbing. The webbing lasts about an hour. It's super strong. One of the things I said, it's even stronger than he is. Well, to some extent, because he was fighting this new mutated vulture. And, he sprayed it on his, you know, he shot webbing all over his feet to keep the vulture from, you know, grabbing him up off the ground and flying away. And, but yeah, he can, you know, shoot globs of it. He can shoot straight things of it, you know, gum stuff up. He can, you know, make it into solid objects like umbrellas or shields and things like that. So yeah, that's a pretty good weapon.
They've expanded its uses in the recent Spider-Man arc, the web and the web shooter as well. He's modified the web shooter to do other things. So
oh, that's cool.
Not to confuse the webbing with the web shooter as the weapon. So
exactly.
It is. Wow, God, this thing is complicated. There's a picture of it online here. That's just somebody did a whole. Internal diagram of this thing.
Is this on the Marvel site? Why? What do you know? I'm just looking at that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It has a steel nipple, by the way. I see it right there.
Does it have a steel nipple?
Look on the picture. It says it.
I see it, too.
Okay, sorry.
Straight out of 50 Shades of Grey, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yes, we're just a little silly today. But, yeah, I know. I remember seeing this in those Marvel Universe encyclopedia things they used to put out.
Oh, what was
they called?
The official handbook.
That's right. Yeah, the handbook.
Oh, hot moo of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I used to have all of those. But yeah, that's pretty cool. No, I can't. I'm looking forward to reading that.
You will enjoy the and him working in the lab and him getting the opportunity to play around with this thing and the web shooters are back in the new movie.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't. That was one change I didn't mind in the first set of movies, but I do now that they're redoing them. That's one thing I'm glad they are changing.
Yeah,
is that because that adds because like I remember one of the arcs I read, he like ran out of web fluid, and he didn't have the money to make any. So no,
he's
just
always
like,
running out of web fluid. Yeah, I know.
See, that's a good. Way to do it. So, anyway, one of them got stolen one time. It's good stuff.
Poor Peter Parker. Will he never win?
Probably not.
What a schlub.
Anyway, what else? Okay, that was my wife's. Alrighty. Your turn.
I'm going to go with the... oh, you took my Green Arrow. I'm going to go with Ray Palmer's size control belt thing.
Oh, very good. Belt.
I forgot. How could I forget that?
Mm. Yeah,
I've been liking those little shorts on DC Nation, too.
Yeah, that's total science there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that can make you shrink and heavy and light and fly and big. Yeah. And it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Control your mass and all that.
Totally, yeah. I guess you're not controlling your weight. You're controlling your mass. Yeah. Sort.
No, I just...
I'm not the science geek.
Yeah, that just popped in my head.
Weight Watcher.
It might be weight. It might be weight, now that I think about it.
I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Sorry.
You can be super heavy.
I didn't mean to cause you any stress, man.
I'm getting flashbacks, high school flashbacks. Yeah.
So this was incorporating the whole piece of the white dwarf.
Yeah, he made. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. He found like a white dwarf star that crashed conveniently.
Yes.
And he mined it and turned it into a little. Did he turn it into a belt first, or did he irradiate the belt or something?
No, there was the lens. You remember he was trapped in the cave with all the students.
Yeah, with all the kids.
Yeah,
but he also every time he tried to shrink something, everything he shrunk blew up, mm-hmm. except him. He was the only one that didn't blow up.
That's right. Yeah.
And now he's got a whole building made out of it, right, or something like that, in the Frankenstein book.
Yeah, because the Frankenstein. Yeah, their fortress, their shade.
Yeah, that's right.
Completely shrunk, so they only get there by shrinking.
Stole the Pym particle idea.
Pym particle.
It's amazing though. Like, you can use that belt for. Oh, it opens up so many stories. I mean, just the shrinking, growing big quickly thing is one thing. But and then you've got the size and weight control. And then if you shrink far enough, you open up like all these new worlds, and you visit like worlds on the molecules and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
So many story possibilities.
One of my favorite ones was one during the Wade run in Justice League. You know, right before he started, it was like in between two big arcs, you know, after Grant Morrison was done with it.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, where he's...
I think so, yeah.
Superman had something wrong with him. And so he shrunk down to go in to see what the deal was. And there was, like, you know, sentient creatures living in there, so they couldn't just wipe it out. No, wait, that's not what it was. It was cancer in a boy's brain. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest Adam stories I ever read. Yes. And, of course, Mark Waid again.
Mark Waid, or whoever the artist was at the time, was the one who finally said, you know what, his costume does not have to disappear when he shrinks, or when he grows to normal size.
Yeah, they did that when he was de-aged in that Teen Titans run.
Did they? Was that part of that? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so Dan Jurgens gets credit for that idea. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think that was the first time I saw it, yeah.
See, I think that's a cool touch, where he can, you know, his costume says he's still in his secret, quote-unquote, secret identity, though. Maybe in the new 52 he has one, but in the old 52 he lost his secret identity. But
cool.
Wow, good choice, man.
Yeah.
Good choice. I can't believe
I didn't think of that either.
Okay, well, then I'm going to do the one that I know both of you got on your list, and if you don't, something's wrong with you. Iron Man's armor.
Yes.
That's one I have.
No, I'm kidding. Awesome. I mean, this guy, he like, super genius guy from Marvel Universe, Tony Stark. He gets his crap lodged near his heart, so he built that little reactor, which the origin was so well done in the movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And then he builds this armor that's powered by the same little atomic generator that's in his chest, and mm-hmm. he goes around and kicks supervillain ass all over the place. I'd never been a huge Iron Man fan until that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I admit it. I would catch him here and there and go, oh, that's neat. You know, the Demon in the Bottle and the Iron Wars and all, or the Armor Wars and stuff, but for the most part, didn't give a crap. But that armor, it's a great weapon. I mean, it will kick everyone's ass, apparently, and it makes them super strong, etc. It took on Thor, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And you can fly.
And he can fly, like Peter Pan.
See, I loved how they did in the movie why he had the repulsors on his hands. They were originally to help him control flight.
Yes.
I like that touch. Because why else? Because he was trying to get away from weapons. Why else would he have it on there? So I mean, yep. that was perfect touch. I really like that.
Well, way back in the 70s, he would have the little jet boots, but then he also had didn't he use the little repulsor rays on his arms to help him fly or to navigate or something? Or am I remembering things?
I don't remember that, but that is very possible.
You're asking at least the wrong for me. I'm the wrong person to ask on that because, I said, I only felt a liking for the character with the Robert Downey Jr. version. So
yeah, I read Iron Man for a while back when he had the silver armor.
You're right, Marie. I'm kind of picturing in my mind that there's like still pictures of him flying and you can see that the trails coming out of his hands as well.
Maybe that's all I'm thinking of the static images that were. You know, popular at that point.
Yeah, make it maybe like a boost or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, they are supposed to repulse things, so that makes sense. Well, okay, then.
A good point, Murray. I almost chose the repulsors as my weapon, but I decided to go all out and just put the whole armor in there.
Whole armor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read Iron Man for once. I got that those DVDs that they made a while back before they came up with their Marvel Digital 40 Years of Iron Man, and I haven't read much of it yet, but I've got a couple of those, one with Spider-Man and X-Men and Captain America, so that's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Prove the digital could work, but sorry.
So... All right. Next, I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure you guys have this too. Captain America's shield.
Yes.
I didn't because I knew one of you would.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, great weapon. Let's see. Revised history. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, it's made of vibranium. Experimental alloy, and apparently the guy who made it, he fell asleep while it was being made, so he doesn't know how he did it exactly. Something in there got in there. It used to be, after he fell asleep. But anyway, at one time they said it was adamantium steel and vibranium alloy, but they've retconned that out since then. But it can absorb virtually all of the kinetic impact from any blows that Shield receives without injuring Rogers in the process. And it's
So wait a minute, it's not vibranium anymore?
No, it is vibranium.
Oh.
But not adamantium and vibranium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, adamantium steel vibranium alloy, because that I remember that a lot, but apparently they've taken the adamantium out of there. So it's just vibranium. Well, I according to this, fuse vibranium with an experimental iron alloy. He can throw it, and because of the vibranium properties, it can bounce off of objects. I guess at one time, Tony Stark even put electronic and magnetic components so he could make it move around in flight by remote control, but he eventually – yeah. Eventually took that out because it upset the balance of the shield.
They would take it down to Central Park and they would fly it on
the weekends. Exactly.
I'm picturing those. You know, have you seen those floating fish and sharks that kids have?
Yeah.
House? I'm picturing that with the shield.
Yeah, the shield flying around. Yeah.
Now, originally, the shield was a triangle shaped thing, right?
Yeah, it was. It was in the 40s. I don't really see why they changed it, but
here it is. There was a potential lawsuit from another company.
Ah, well, I should have known. Yes, there it is.
Was it the Archie?
Oh, that's right. The patriotic hero of the shield that Archie had. Yeah, that's right. His uniform looked a lot like that. Yeah, I remember that now. And let's see, what else? In 2010, the history of the original shield was revised. Limited series, Captain America's Black Panther, Flags of Our Fathers. Captain America, Sergeant Nick Fury, and Howling Commandos met Azari, grandfather of T'Challa, the Black Panther, and King of Wakanda during World War II. Aided by Wakandan military forces, they successfully repel a series of Nazi assaults led by the Red Skull and Baron Strucker. Oh, wait. During the battle, the Red Skull, wearing a battle suit, crushes the triangular shield, and Captain America uses a circular vibranium shield provided by Azari to incapacitate the skull. This weapon serves as the inspiration for the circular shield that the super soldier begins using upon it as returned to the America. And, okay.
That's kind of how he got it in the movie, too. It was just happened to be a shield sitting there. And
yeah.
And they went, oh, when we can paint
that's
it.
All, yeah, that's all the vibranium in the world right there. Apparently it was broke again during Fear Itself, but Asgardian dwarves gathered up the pieces and added Asgardian.
Oh, we can't count it anymore. It's not made by man. It's made by dwarves.
No. They just put it back together, but they added a little bit of, you know, Uru-infused enhancements.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's a scar across the surface.
Out the window.
Surface. No, it was made by man. It was just put back together by
dwarf. I think this one gets an asterisk.
Gets an asterisk? Okay.
Made by man and dwarf.
Yes, kind of like a baseball player that's on steroids.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll put an asterisk on there.
I remember that scene in Secret Wars. Remember his shield got broken during Secret Wars?
Yeah.
He sits there and he wishes it back together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when that world was all funky. I remember when they had lost it for a long time, and it talks about that a little bit in here. And he had that photonic one that was like on his, glove.
It was a holographic one or whatever.
Yeah, and then he actually had the pointed one again for a while, I remember.
I don't think I would want to be protected by a holographic shield.
It was solid. I mean,
Oh, sure it was. Until
until he left the holodecks, and then it was gone.
Here, let me hold my holographic shield up and hope that something holographically bounces off of it.
There's a list of all the times it was destroyed. Secret Wars being one of them. Another time in Infinity Gauntlet. So
this is not a great weapon. It gets broke a lot. No, I'm kidding.
Thor actually dented it in 2003. He later repaired it.
Oh, well. Again, repaired by a god. I don't know. It's starting to lose its cachet, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. A good choice, of course. Of course.
Yes, it was on my list, but that's because I didn't know it was dwarf built.
Oh, ow. Oh, listen to you. I tell you.
Okay, well, I'm choosing something that has absolutely no dwarfs attached to it.
Okay.
Starman's Cosmic Rod.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Quick, get Matt Kramer. Hold on.
I think we can reach him.
Okay. Reach for comment. It's Matt cool. Kramer was quoted as saying, sorry.
So anyway, yes, tell us about the Cosmic Rod.
It's great. It started in the 40s probably as like a little goofy wand that could do whatever it needed to do.
Yeah, that
was. And I think they sometimes used it like Green Lantern's ring, so if they needed it to like form stuff, it would form stuff, and if they needed it to just shoot lasers, it would do that. And of course you could fly with it, but once James Robinson got a hold of the Starman Cosmic Rod, then it was pretty much then I think he just used it to fly and shoot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
There might have been other
Jack Knight didn't do much giant fists with it at all.
No, it was pretty much flying and shooting. Mm-hmm.
And also, Jeff Johns modified it for Stargirl when he did the Stars and Stripes series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did she have a rod or did she throw it into her belt?
It's her belt.
She had. Well, no, she had the cosmic belt and she had Jack Nicholson.
And she had. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because when he retired.
Yeah.
He gave the rod.
But in Stars and Stripes, she just had the belt.
Yeah.
She had the belt. Yeah. Yeah.
That was Star Spangled Kid's cosmic belt.
Right.
So.
Right. But based on the designs by trademarked and copyrighted by Ted Knight.
Exactly.
Incorporated.
Now, that's a great choice. The cosmic rod, totally man-made. I mean, the whole point of it was that it was man-made, and it drew on the stellar radiation, I think, or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Good choice. Wow. I feel like that the shield is becoming less and less. No, I'm kidding.
Let's see.
All right.
Is that five?
No, that's three, man.
What?
Yeah, three.
Oh, that's right. Somebody took all mine.
Sorry, man. All right, so I'm going out of mainstream with my next one.
Non-mainstream alert. Okay, go ahead.
First appearing in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen number one, Captain Nemo's Nautilus.
Okay. That's a weapon?
He used it as a weapon, absolutely. He fired stuff from it. He was exploring with it. He would shoot stuff out of it.
Now, wait a minute. That's a vehicle with weapons.
Okay.
Did he ram something with it?
He probably rammed a whale with it.
Okay, fine. I'll go mainstream then.
Okay.
All right.
No, that's fine. No, you can call
it. I'm sure he attacked a Kraken. Kraken. How do you say that? Kraken? Kraken?
It's Kraken. Yeah, Kraken. Like that.
Release the Kraken.
Yeah, you got to put that one.
I'm sure he rammed into one of those with his sub there.
Let's see, man.
It's a weapon.
I got to come up with something now.
So Captain Nemo, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was Alan Moore taking all of these public domain characters that we all knew and loved, including Captain Nemo.
And seriously messing them up. No, I'm just kidding.
He did. Initially, it was an awesome idea, and it was, and many have copied the formula.
Yeah, since. That first one was really good. I have to admit.
Going up against the Martians from War of the Worlds was a great touch. Mm. But Nemo was kind of the de facto scientific big brain in the book. Right, and not the leader, because Alan Quartermain, of course, was the leader. I just thought it was cool. I mean, it was their base of operation, it was their transportation, it was also a weapon, and it was man-made. Nemo built it himself, or with a bunch of other people building it for him. So, there we go.
Okay. All right, then.
All right, then, fine. Be that way. So that's my number four.
All right then.
Do we need to come back to you?
No, I got something. Okay. I'm trying to find what kind. Well, the Shadow's pistols.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, they're. I'm trying to find out if they're anything special to them, but I think they're just plain old 45s, 1911
Colts. Never run out of bullets.
This is true. They might be mystical in some way.
No,
I don't have any idea. I'm trying to find that out. But anyway, yeah, if I find that out, I'll say that. But yeah, Shadow's pistols.
I always liked the Shadow. I just recently watched the Alec Baldwin Shadow movie.
It was bad.
Way underrated. Much better than my memory had it being.
Yeah, my dad's a big Shadow fan. Have you checked out the Dynamite series that just started?
I have not.
It's not bad. I don't know that much about the Shadow, so I don't, you know. But I've read the first two issues, and it's very realistic. It takes place in 1938, and Garth Ennis is writing it, and it's actually pretty good.
That means it's going to be pretty damn violent.
Oh, hell yeah. It's very violent. But, you know, the Shadow killed people, so, you know.
Oh, of course he did. That was his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the 45 pistols, that's right. Okay, yeah, that's it.
That's it. No more. Mm-hmm. We're fine. Good choice.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going with Ambush Bugs, Bugs.
Oh!
Oh!
Pop, pop, pop.
That's a good, good choice.
I think he only ever used them as weapons, like, in his first couple of appearances. Mm-hmm. And then... then I think the teleportation stuff got... like, originally I think he used the bugs to teleport.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some sort of zappy-zappy, and the teleportativeness got zapped into his suit.
Mm. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, and yeah, eat what?
I could remember from my that... Legion of Substitutes Heroes special DC Presents with Superman that as he's zipping around, Superman is using super speed to fly to get all those damn bugs so he couldn't tell
anymore. Yeah.
And that's the only time I ever remember seeing him.
They were in the original appearances too.
In the original appearance, I think.
See, I've never seen the original appearances. That was the first time I've ever seen
Doom Patrol. The
was he in Doom Patrol?
DC Comics Presents number 52?
58? Yeah. 52. Really? Check that out.
With the all-new Doom Patrol.
Huh. God.
With the Tempest and the...
oh, that one. Okay.
Robot Man with the antennae.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The Tempest that had flame out of one arm and cold out of the other.
Yep.
That it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, he did have to have the bugs, and then at some point, you're right, Giffen and Fleming besorged him, and he no longer needed the bugs.
No, then he could just pop around as needed, because by then he was just crazy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how I always took my comics so seriously when I read that. You know, thing, and it was making light of stuff, and I didn't like it, but, you know, now I find it funny.
Oh, it's neat watching the first couple of appearances, because his first appearance, he's strictly, like, played as a villain,
mm-hmm.
straight up bad guy, and then I always get his second appearance mixed up. I don't remember if he appeared in Supergirl next, or if he appeared in... shoot... I don't know, but there's like
I'm pretty certain he is chronologically it was DC Comics Presents, DC Comics Presents, and then
Supergirl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But he kind of makes a pretty quick transition from straight up villain to I'm gonna try to be a hero to I'm just gonna be Daffy Duck Man.
Yeah, that Ambush Bug Year None series was absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
They finally put that last issue out.
Oh, that was...
I would love to know what went on.
Yeah, what was the deal? Did he put something in there that really pissed Didio off?
Well, I don't think so, because they really... They seem to get along really well, so...
Well, yeah, in front of people.
No, like, even... I mean, like, they do... like, they, mm-hmm. they write series and stuff together, I think...
Yeah,
I think they get along, but I would love to know what the story was there.
Yeah, because they won't even talk about it.
No.
I'm glad they won't. That should stay behind the scenes.
Well, it depends on how nasty it is. Sometimes I don't mind, as Paul puts it, knowing how the sausage is made. Other times I don't. That particular I would like to know, but a lot of the other stuff, I, you know, whatever. Because that just makes me disheartened. A little bit.
And by the way, it says here that it was while he was trying to fix one of the bugs, it exploded, causing a chain reaction and a blast that destroyed all the bugs and tinted Ambush Bug's costume, making it so he could teleport, capable of teleporting even without the bugs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
So now he's a walking, talking weapon.
He was his appearance in the last Doom Patrol series was inspired.
Oh my gosh, so well done. Yeah.
I didn't read that at all.
Living in Danny the Bungalow.
Yeah.
That sounds funny. I might have to check that out.
You will have to check out that series. It's very good.
And he's the one who kind of walked up and broke the fourth wall, and he said, "Oh,
well, yeah.
We got to end the series now, basically, you know." Thanks to Flashpoint, it's time to move on, and then that was their way to close out what could have been a four- or five-part story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Ambush Bugs, Bugs. Whoo.
Yeah, that's a good one, man.
Liking that. All right. Okay.
Is that all of them?
No, that's four. We need one more here. I'm just debating which one to do since you guys kind of ream me on choosing the Nautilus.
I got another one.
Okay, so, well,
whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'm going to go with, and again, I'm not certain whether it's a weapon or more invention, but any hero who has man-made wings, like the Falcon or Arthur from The Tick, or Mothman from Watchmen. That's kind of cool. I mean, somebody invents these things that, you know, it doesn't require the nth metal from Hawkman, and it doesn't require
that was destroyed, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't remember. Don't give a crap.
Savage Hawkman. What a terrible.
I should give a crap, but I don't.
Lord.
I always liked the Falcon, first of all. I always thought he was a cool character.
That's a cool character.
The Tick is one of my favorite series, and Arthur is the foil for it, but sort of flittering around it.
I've seen some of those cartoons, yeah.
And then the way they did the Mothman origin in the recent Minuteman #1.
Oh, that was so good.
That was a cool bit.
Him standing at the edge of the building like, oh my god, I'm scared to death. I'm just going to... And talked about the physics of it, how he had to balance it. He can't be more than 3 pounds off. And you gave me a brand new appreciation for the wings.
And Darwin Cook's writing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was
they
awesome.
Need to have him writing more stuff because, I mean, that – and that's exactly why I don't have a problem with – if I were to have a problem with the Beyond Watchmen, not his – the way they're doing stuff that – you know, on characters that they just showed a little bit and told, you know, a little bit in text. So I don't think there's anything wrong with going back to that. But
they should have Darwin Cook write them all, because Silk Spectre #1 was awesome as well.
Was it? So, yeah.
It was a good one, yeah. I enjoyed that one. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it more than Minuteman.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah,
that's okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So my #5 is man-made flying wing device is like the Falcon and
okay.
Mothman.
All right, then. Good.
I didn't want to narrow it down. I could have just said Falcon, but... Mm. Yeah.
All right, then. Okay, well,
Inspires conversation. That's the point of this, these top five. But...
Yes, it does. Well, I have Nightwing's Eskrima sticks.
Eskrima.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not, but... Hey, there you go.
Sounds like a dirty word.
Yeah, it does kind of sound.
I'm glad he took those on, because the whole idea, they all had the same weapons, and it was cool to see them all sort of have their own individual signature weapon or signature thing like that, like Robin's bow sticks, whatever.
Yeah, the bow staff.
Yeah, the bow staff, thank you. And good choice, because Nightwing is definitely the cool kid on the block.
Yep. He's my favorite.
Oh, then God, you're going to love Batman and Robin, #10, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know what it's about already. I looked through it. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, you can get Cold Steel Eskrima Stick for $19.99 on TrueSwords.com.
True Swords?
Oh, yeah. They got all kinds of cool crap on there. You can even get Batarangs on there. Yeah, check it out. Send you the link. There you go. They have some cheaper, but, you know, they're made out of wood.
As I hop over to that. Hey, look at that.
Yep.
That thing pops apart into two pieces? Is that the idea here?
No, that's just one stick. You have to buy the other one if you want more. And Mockingbird uses those, too.
Oh, from...
She was using them way before what's-his-name was, right? Nah, she would hide them up in her big poofy sleeves and then just...
Yeah.
Slide out and conk someone.
Yeah, that's true. She did. That's the first time I ever saw them.
She was a SHIELD agent too, right?
Why, yes, she was.
Yes, she was. And now she's, I don't know what she is now. She's reanimated.
Mm-hmm. What?
She was a Skrull.
That's right.
Yeah, the one that died was a Skrull, and then when they did that whole Skrull thing, she was one of the ones that came off the spaceship.
Well, yes.
So.
But now what is she? She's nothing.
She's nothing, man.
Well, I guess she's in the Avengers.
Yeah, she's in the Avengers.
They've shown her face. She has.
Everybody is in the Avengers. Well, they're handing out memberships at the bus station now.
One of the last issues of Avengers I read, they had injected her with super soldier serum to save her life. Or not super soldier serum, the thing that they used on Fury, whatever it is that keeps him from aging. And that was one of the last, and they were like, somehow she's been changed. And that's almost the last Avengers that I've read. So
I hadn't heard anything about that.
Yep.
So, but the Eskrima stick.
Yes.
Ouch. I want to know why he took that on as a weapon.
I don't know. Oh, they in when Dixon was writing it, they had him start using those in Robin Year One. On the cover of the trade has him holding them and like in a defensive pose. So
they retroed it or not? What were they called? Yeah,
they retconned it in.
Okay.
And they're just sticks. Like there's no chain attaching them, or
no, they're just a stick, and you know, depending on what they're made of, I mean, that's actually an ancient weapon. I mean, that's not like something that Batman.
Well, yes, because there were sticks around from you know.
I mean, you know, but, okay, one of the Rambo movies, he was doing stick fighting. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was 3 because he's in that. Whatever Vietnamese town or whatever, and he was like doing stick fighting to raise money for the poor people or whatever, and it showed that kind of fighting, and it's basically what he does. But like this one here on the website I just showed you, it says here it is blah blah blah, brand new. It's 32 inches long, built from super tough black propylene, and it's injected molded, so it makes it even stronger. But they make them out of wood, and they have the foam padded ones for practicing, and then you have the wood ones that are 26 inches. Those are only.
How does he carry a two-three foot steel? Oh, never mind.
They're on his back.
Oh, they are. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They did that early in the old. When the Nightwing series first came out, with Dixon and McDaniel, they had him in sheaths in his back. And cool. He used them to. You know, they could bounce off of things, kind of like Daredevil's Billy Club a little bit.
But they don't fold. They don't pull apart like the Billy Club or.
Nope, they're just
nunchucks or whatever.
Really sturdy sticks.
Cool. Smack! Ouch! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do damage.
I got hit by a tennis racket earlier today, so I can imagine.
Ow!
Yeah, right in the chin. Right in the chin. I'm.
Yeah, here's a whole bunch of. I just found some Yahoo videos on how to use them. Somebody to get me a Nightwing costume and kick some ass here now.
that Bat 2C video is getting closer and closer to reality.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, here it is. Wikipedia shows a guy holding them.
Uh huh. And which uniform are you going with? Are you going with the Perez Classic?
Disco. Oh, no, no, I don't want to show any of my chest hair. No. No, I'll go with the blue one, for the first one that they, you know, with Dixon and McDaniel did.
Oh, when he went solo in his own series. Okay.
Yeah, I like that one best. I don't like the red at all.
You don't like the current one?
Okay. No, I don't.
I think it's kind of growing on me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it like when I first saw it, but, you know. I'm just glad to have Nightwing back.
Oh man, Batman and Robin 10. That's
Oh, I know that. It looks good.
As good as Batman 10 was, Batman and Robin 10 exceeded this month.
Mm-hmm.
You son of a bitch!
What? I got you reading that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And it's damn good too.
It is. I'm. It is. It may make the trade paperback cut when I.
I wouldn't mind having a trade of that too.
Though I think it's coming out in hardcover first.
Yeah, I can always wait.
I saw a bunch of them at Barnes and Noble last night. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All summer paperback like Red Lantern, but then there were some hardcovers like Justice League. I'm like, God damn it, I want.
Yeah, they'll make all their big top 10 sellers hardcovers first, and then.
Yeah, they already. In fact, I saw a deal on. It was either Newsarama or CBR that they had somebody had asked that question, and they're going to continue doing that. They talked to Didio. So. Well,
of course they will. They want their money. Mm-hmm. They're going to go monetize these things as many ways as they can. So floppy and digital and then hardcover and then trade and then mm-hmm. omnibus for the ones that really, really warrant it.
And then the absolute editions.
Yeah. Oh.
So what's your number? What's your number five, Murray? You thought you'd get away with it. Ha!
I'll keep him talking and maybe they'll forget.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to go with the Doombots, Dr. Doom's.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
Robots.
Those are weapons.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Now, the ones that look like Dr. Doom are the ones that look like with the semi-square head ones.
Oh, no, I think you got to go with the ones that look like Doom.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that kind of adds to it, you know, have a whole bunch of Dooms attacking you.
Yes.
It's like the bats attacking you. Okay. Or the moths.
Yes.
The moth seems to have gone to bed. It's dark out here, so.
I would sleep with one eye open, man.
I would too, man, because those moths are nasty.
Yeah, well, I will not be sleeping in this room. Sleep.
Lay eggs in your tummy.
Oh, stop it.
Now, I'm not going to sit up with him if you give him if you give him nightmares. I'll
be Skyping you both all night long. Right when I wake up, that'll be the middle of your night.
So Doombots. Okay, sorry.
Yes, Doombots. They're weapons for sure, and they're great for whenever you have a storyline that doesn't quite work. You just whip out a Doombot and you can wipe the slate clean.
Oh yeah, they did that with the Storm story. It was a Doombot.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When it's like, oh no, Doom wouldn't behave like that. You're right, because it wasn't Doom.
It was a Doombot.
Doombot, and a cool word too.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
I wonder if that was a Stan Lee-ism.
No idea.
Probably.
I'm trying to remember. I think the Doombots were around in the Lee Kirby days.
Quick! Internet!
To the internet. I'm sure they were.
Doombot.
They had to have
been. Yeah, I'm sure you're right. I just, yeah, they originally, scroll, Fantastic Four number 5, so yes. Oh,
totally.
Okay.
That is, if not dead center, it's certainly right there at the.
Yeah, that's out there for sure.
The peak of Lee Kirby, Fantastic Four time. Well, good choices, man.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I also had the Spider Tracer, Cyclops Visor.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Phantom Lady's Black Ray.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
good choice. Yeah.
The Vision.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I almost put in Superboy.
The clone version.
the newest version.
Yeah, the clone. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the new one or the one that, you know, from the pre-reboot. He was a clone, too.
Yeah.
And then
16-year-old.
Yep, forever and ever.
And you could say Rorschach's platoon, or however you pronounce that gun. That could be used as a weapon.
Oh, God, that harpoon gun, yeah.
Yeah, he did use it as a weapon when he was trying to get away from the cops, remember? Had him in that building, and he, like, boom, one of the cops.
Huh. And I had Computo on my list as well, by the way.
Yeah. I have been used as a weapon on occasion.
Yes, you have. Or a threat.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, shit, I just jinxed this whole show, didn't I?
Ah, you're fine. It's all good.
So top five lists are always fun. Again, I think the inspiration of conversation, the total tangents that we went off on, but that's okay because that's the fun of this comic book stuff.
Yep. Yes.
You share geekism.
Oh, sorry. I clicked on a YouTube video and it just started running. Sorry about that.
How could that possibly happen? You click on it and it ran?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it?
God. Crazy.
It was the Green Arrow's Boxing Glove Arrow video. I might have to post that in the show notes.
I think you should. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm down with that. I mean, there's so many cool weapons and inventions out there, but it was like you noted at the top of the show, you know, using mystical stuff kind of it took it out of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we could say, like you said, you could say Thor's hammer or, you know, oh, Jesus, I'm any of the stuff from Doctor Strange's arsenal you put in there. The Eye of Agamotto. all the stuff from again the Lee Kirby stuff that came in with the Silver Surfer and Galactus. But those aren't man-made. So
no.
Ooh, the Shield Helicarrier, but that's not really a weapon either, is it?
No.
Damn.
That's a vehicle.
Oh, you blow me.
Man, you're saucy tonight, aren't you?
I am saucy tonight. I put together two closets this week, so I'm entitled to be saucy.
Okay, well, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I'm not having surgery like some people, but I'm...
Well, you know, I gotta get it fixed. It needs fixing. I need fixing. As they say around here, I'm afflicted.
Just before and after pictures.
Oh, I don't think so.
Have you ever seen a before of one of those, Murray? And that was all pre-show conversation. But
No. I got the pictures they gave me are enough. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, Murray, I'll send you the picture of my daughters. How about that? Oh, and people who are listening to this right now are like, what the fuck?
Well, we'll just throw it out there. I got a hernia. And I'm having surgery in the morning. So when you guys are listening to this, I'll probably be conked out cold in a recovery room, you know, saying probably weird things to the nurses.
Good drugs.
Yeah, I'm hoping. As much money as they're charging me, I hope they give me really good stuff. And a doggy bag on top of it.
I'll take 20 cc's of that to go, please.
I'll have whatever he's having.
Hey, pulling out the Billy Crystal reference.
Yes, I love that movie. Anyway, yeah, that's what's going on with me. So, you know, when you're listening to this, be thinking, you know, hopefully they don't let any awesomeness out when they open me up, because that would be terrible.
They're going to release the moths.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Gross intestine.
Ow. That hurt a little bit.
So next week we'll do Robin's email. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good.
And then I'll talk to you guys about something else offline. But
all right, never mind. That's cool. So yeah, we've heard all that dirty laundry. So.
So anybody who wants to contact us about moths can contact us.
Yes, send it to care of Murray at podcast@delphinalonbox.com. Please send your moth pictures to him.
Yeah.
I'll make sure he gets them.
I don't know what this moth was in reality.
Yeah, man, that sounds terrible, man.
It was big, and all I'm saying is there was a kid playing out in the backyard, and that kid is not out in the backyard any longer. So either the moth scared the kid away, or ate the kid.
I'm picturing milk carton picture any time now.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Anyway, well, I think that's about it. As I mentioned, you can contact us at podcast@talesfromthewildbox.com, and you can do the comments. That's the word. Comments on the actual episodes. Or you can comment on the Facebook page in the morning. or anytime. Just, you know, we got all kinds of conversation going on there. Some of it not very nonsensical, but, you know, hey, who cares, right? It's all good. Oh, he's got a new member I just saw. Anyway, that's about it for here, and I'm going to get my belly open here in a couple hours. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
I'll make sure I'll post pictures to Facebook, so.
Good.
Yeah, would you please? All right.
All right. Okay. And we're out.